2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 16. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our own eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. God's word for admonition this morning. Please be seated. Thanksgiving. I know that's on the minds of many of us this morning, but sometimes we forget that thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks, is essential to good personal health. A famous stress researcher by the name of Hans Selye claimed that there are two attitudes more than any other that influence the quality of our everyday life. And these two emotions depend our peace of mind, our feelings of security or insecurity, of fulfillment or frustration, in short, to the extent to which we can make a success of life. Dr. Selye claims that the most destructive emotion imaginable is revenge. But in contrast, he wrote, among all emotions, there is one which more than any other accounts for the absence or presence of stress in human relationships, and that is the feeling of gratitude, unquote. Certainly in the text that we just shared, the Apostle Paul was thankful to God for the divine blessings that came to him as he ministered to other people and as he assisted other people. Barnabas was a person earlier in Paul's life that rendered him a great service by putting full confidence in him when many people doubted him. And remember, Barnabas was the one who introduced the leaders of the church in Jerusalem to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9:27. Later, it was that same Barnabas who invited Paul to come to Antioch where his services were needed as both a teacher and a preacher, Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And certainly, Paul in his life, he was thankful, he was grateful for the assistance that other people had provided for him and for the blessings of God that came through people. Timothy, Silas, and many other people were not only co-laborers with the Apostle Paul, but they were a channel for the blessings of God in the life of that great apostle. Now, in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul explicitly thanks and praises God for the ministry of an individual by the name of Titus. We know that Titus was a Christian convert. He was a friend. He was a helper to the Apostle Paul, according to Titus 1:4. He was a Greek. He was a son of Gentile parents, according to Galatians 2:3. And during Paul's third missionary journey, Titus was assigned to Corinth to solve some challenging problems and to encourage material assistance to needy people in Jerusalem. That's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In fact, Titus made two trips to Corinth, and much later, Titus even ministered on the island of Crete, and he was left behind there by the Apostle Paul to organize those churches. And more information about that is found in Titus chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It's very likely that Titus even went to Rome to be with Paul during his second Roman imprisonment. And Titus was certainly a Christian who was not only consecrated, not only courageous, but he was also resourceful. Remember, Paul sent him to minister to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians had a lot of problems in their churches. He was also sent to minister to the Christians on the island of Crete, and the people in Crete had a problem with truth-telling. And he was even sent, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, to evangelistically share the gospel with a group of people that were known to be very aggressive, called the Dalmatians. Titus is also mentioned several other times in the epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2:3, 2 Corinthians 7:6. But I like 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13, where Paul wrote, "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." If you notice in today's scripture reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, that although Titus's affection for the Corinthians naturally developed as he ministered and interacted with them, Paul could trace Titus's keen interest in their welfare to the providential working of God. And nothing could have been more reassuring to the Corinthian Christians than to know the devotion and the concern for them that was shared by Paul and Titus, that their devotion and concern were simply reflections of the genuine affection and concern that the Lord had for them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, we see an unnamed and unidentified Christian brother that Paul was sending with Titus. And apparently this unnamed, unidentified Christian brother had a double qualification. He was known and highly praised for his service to the gospel. Perhaps this unnamed brother was an enthusiastic administrator. Maybe he was an evangelist. Maybe he was a teacher. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, we see that Paul's previous experiences in Corinth had taught him that he must anticipate suspicions or accusations of his detractors and take the necessary precautions in the area of finance. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 3, he had insisted that the Corinthians appoint their own accredited representatives, and he sent to Corinth, before he arrived, two delegates along with his personal representative. Paul was not a person who sought human praise, but he recognized that the progress of the gospel would be hindered if its ministers, for any reason, acquired a reputation for financial malfeasance. Paul's expression of gratitude to God for fellow laborers and helpers in the kingdom, I think, provides us with a pattern to follow as we anticipate our celebration of Thanksgiving this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 22. We see here a second anonymous representative is found. And why were these two brothers going to be accompanying Titus? And we wonder why they weren't identified by name. Perhaps they were going to be personally introduced by Titus when the letter was first read at Corinth. Or maybe both delegates as renowned appointees of the churches of northern Greece and Macedonia were already well known to the Christians at Corinth. Why was this going to be a three-person delegation? Again, Paul wanted two independent envoys to accompany Titus to remove any possible accusations of financial improprieties as they were going to be collecting an offering for the destitute people of Jerusalem. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23, Paul summing up the credentials for this Christ-honoring three-member delegation. And Paul directly encouraged the Corinthians to measure up to his expectations for them so that their actions would give evidence that they really loved the Lord and for the members of that local body of Christ by extending warm hospitality and cooperating with this three-person delegation in order to supervise the arrangements for the collection of the offering for those needy people of Jerusalem. Yes, in our text today, the Apostle Paul thanked God for the ministry of Titus. Did you know in our English language that the words thank and think hail from the same root, reminding us that in true thanksgiving, we first think about our blessings. This Thanksgiving week, I believe first we can be thankful to God for parents that we have had who have served as spiritual guardians and guides. Some of us are indeed fortunate to have been born into a home that was established by either Christian parents or grandparents. And God has allowed many of us to have rich spiritual blessings by letting us grow up in an environment that was conducive to our receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and developing a Christian character. This past week, I don't know if it was on television or on the radio, I came across two very disturbing statistics. There are 20 million Americans today who either are addicted to illicit drugs or alcohol. And this past year, 47,000 Americans, more Americans who were killed in traffic accidents, were killed by drug overdoses. We need to give expression to our gratitude for God for blessing us with Christian parents or grandparents. And every person can bring joy into the heart of a parent or a grandparent when they give expression to praise and gratitude for allowing God to use them to minister to us. A second group of people that I think deserve our special thanks this week are teachers. And I know we have some teachers in our audience and we have some former teachers as well. I think especially we have to be thankful for teachers who have encouraged us in our spiritual growth. Some of us have been very fortunate to have good teachers provided for us in the congregations that we grew up in. And we know that God uses lay people as the communicators of His message of love, grace, and power, even as God uses pastors and missionaries. I'll never forget when I was like in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. My Sunday school teacher was a gentleman and he was so sincere. And I could tell that he worked with his hands because every Sunday his hands were, I'm sure he washed his hands, but they were calloused and they were blackened by the type of work that he did. But he was so sincere in living the Scriptures, teaching the Scriptures, and encouraging us as 4th, 5th, and 6th graders to memorize God's Word. We've all had teachers who have taught us in the context of the classroom. They've explained to us the meaning of the Word of God, and our lives have been enriched because of their years and hours of study. But perhaps the most effective teachers are those who have lived their life lessons before us. They've provided us with a stimulus to faith and faithfulness, and we're able to observe in their lives sacrificial self-giving. They've encouraged us to live a life of purity that leads to power and spiritual fruitfulness. Certainly, every one of our lives in here would be impoverished if it wasn't for the fact that God has sent to every one of us many blessings through teachers. And it would do our hearts well and it would do others good if we could give verbal expression to our praise and thanksgiving for how God has blessed us through them. And I'm just going to ask a question this morning, but I don't want you to answer out loud. How long has it been since you've written a card or a letter to express gratitude for the contribution made to you through a teacher? A third group that I feel we need to be thankful for this Thanksgiving week is we need to thank God for Christian friends who have led us closer to the Lord. How many of you have ever heard this statement? Behind every great man, there's a great woman. How many have heard that? Almost everybody in here. Well, I think there's truth in that statement. And it may be a man's wife, but it could be a man's mother. Or maybe it would be both his wife and his mother. But couldn't it also be said, behind the life of every great person, there is a group of good friends. Some of God's finest blessings have come to us through the channel of friendship. There was once a senator from the state of Oregon by the name of Richard Neuberger. He wasn't just a politician. He was also a journalist. He was an author. He had been a state representative. He was an army officer during the Second World War. Then he was elected to the state senate. And then he was elected to the United States Senate in Washington, D.C. Senator Neuberger became ill. And he once said that the experience of contracting cancer had changed him. And I want to read what he wrote about that. "A change came over me, which I believe is irreversible. Questions of prestige, of political success, of financial status became all at once unimportant. In their stead has come a new appreciation of things I once took for granted. Eating lunch with a friend, scratching Muffet's ears and listening to his purr, the company of my wife, reading a book or magazine in the quiet cone of my bed lamp at night, raiding the refrigerator for a glass of orange juice or a piece of coffee cake. For the first time, I think I am actually savoring life. I shudder when I remember all the occasions that I spoiled for myself, even when I was in the best of health, by false pride, synthetic values, and fancied slights." United States Senator Neuberger wrote those words before he died from the effects of cancer at age 47. Yes, friends can bless us by setting challenging examples. Some friends are God's blessing to us because of the encouragement that they give us. Barbara Ann Kiefer once started to keep a list of her favorite things. And she wasn't a singer. Instead, she was a shy teenager. And soon this list became second nature. And she found herself making additions to this list when she was riding the bus, eating breakfast, and she'd even wake up at night and add things to her list. And 20 years and dozens of spiral notebooks later, her list was published as a book entitled 14,000 Things to Be Happy About. Now, I wonder this Thanksgiving week, isn't it time for some of us to get one of those spiral notebooks and start listing some of the things that we are truly thankful for? You know, some friends are also God's blessing to us because of the correction that they give us. There are times when we would have taken the wrong path in life if it wasn't for a word of warning or a word of counsel from a friend who loves us. How long has it been since we thank God for someone who was a real channel of blessing that came to us? Is it not rather difficult for us to experience a blessing that does not come through another human instrumentality? Just as the Apostle Paul was thankful for Titus, who was God's minister to the Corinthians, even so, I challenge us this Thanksgiving week to take a spiritual inventory, express great, deep gratitude in our hearts for those whom God has used to bless us. Shall we think about those blessings as we turn to number 786? And as you stand for number 786, I would invite Anna and Jessica and their sponsors and parents and grandparents or whoever wants to come up and stand with them as we sing number 786. 786.